This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show. Since I could hold my head up high, and it's been a while since I first saw you. And it's been a while since I can stand on my own two feet again. And it's been a while since I could call you.
Son's track meet, and I could talk some comics.
Well, what's sunburn have to do with talking comics?
Like I'm miserable and I want to take my mind off of it.
Oh, all right. I'm with you.
So,
well, you're going to have to steer the ship because it's been a while since I podcasted, so I don't even remember what came out and whatever. So
we literally have 3 weeks of comics to cover.
Oh, awesome.
So I have a feeling we're just going to just kind of skip around to stuff we want to talk about because there's way too much.
That's cool.
Way too much to cover.
I can derail the conversation at all times and you not get mad at me then?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I feel like we'd hit on the main story stuff. And if there's something that you want to talk about that's in like a side, you know, I mean, I'm not going to really cover. I figure we wouldn't really get into like Green Lanterns, Green Arrow, you know, Supergirl, stuff like that. We do like the Flash Batman thing.
Right.
The Superman thing, Aquaman, maybe Detective, stuff like that.
Okay, that's cool. There's a couple of other one shots that like Batman Shadow. Have you read that?
I didn't read that yet. I didn't have a chance. But if you want to talk about it, go right ahead.
Well, first, let's talk about the Justice League news then.
Sure.
That's some crazy stuff.
That is crazy stuff.
Because at first I saw like the headlines of where Snyder bails out and then Whedon was taken over, which is crazy in itself because since he did the Avengers one, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like somebody on Boston play and then going to New York, right, to play for the Yankees.
You mean like Wade Boggs when he left the Red Sox and came to the Yankees and then won the World Series?
Yeah, well, kind of like that. Which it didn't matter me, but, you know, for you guys. And yeah, there I stereotyped it because I said you guys.
He didn't say use guys, though, so that's...
Well, isn't that how you guys say it? Use guys?
Yeah.
You guys up here in Boston?
Well, no, I'm not from Boston. I'm from New York.
I know, but I didn't really say, like, use Aaron up here in Boston, eh?
And now I'm from Canada? What's going
now
on
you're from
here?
Canada, Boston, right?
Oh, my Lord.
See? But,
yeah, I mean, I think the first Justice League movie news that I remember hearing was like last week or the week before, they were talking about how they had to do a whole bunch of reshooting.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, typical, oh, the movie's a mess, it's going to be horrible, they have to reshoot, they have to whatever. And I was like, eh, whatever, they reshoot. Every single movie does reshoots. You know, this isn't anything different. And then you hear nothing about it. And then today, you know, the news came out about Snyder's daughter.
Right.
And, you know, that's why he's leaving. And they're reshooting, you know, extra stuff to put in. And that Joss Whedon was taking over. And, I mean, look, Joss Whedon's fantastic. So,
yeah.
I mean, I trust that whatever he does will be good. I don't think, I mean, obviously he's going to stick to the tone or whatever of the movie.
Right.
That it's not, I mean, I don't think it's going to be something crazy. Like you can definitely tell, oh, this scene is, you know, all of a sudden bright and colorful. But.
Right. Yeah. You know, and he was already slotted to do Batgirl, right?
I think so.
Batgirl and something else, maybe? Or just Batgirl?
I don't remember. I mean, there was talk about him doing... Was it an actual Birds of Prey movie?
Maybe. Or The Sirens, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Anyways, but, like... And then you got internet assholes that's like, oh, well, it's going to be better anyways because Snyder backed out or whatever. And I was like, dude, his daughter just committed suicide like in March.
Yeah.
And then his explanation for it was like, you know, it's personal, so they were trying to keep it close to the vest or whatever.
Yep.
And then he thought going back to it would engulf him, so that way pretty much just his emotions, he'd push them aside and let work engulf him, basically.
Yeah.
And then, like, his seven other kids? That's crazy in itself, right?
I don't even know. I didn't really read the whole article.
Like, yeah.
Whatever.
Because he said that he was hurting and his seven other kids were hurting and his wife was hurting, which, I mean, that's...
Yeah, and his wife is a producer on the movie, too.
Right.
So, like, yeah, so they're all kind of stepping away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so, like, you can't blame them. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, that, like... What kind of person would you be to go on Twitter or Facebook or whatever and just start bashing somebody?
Well, that's
because they're going to walk away.
As soon as the internet was created, that's when the people showed up. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, back on Prodigy before like AOL even became a thing, there were people being assholes to other people.
Prodigy when the Ultimate Warrior got on the special live chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's insane to think about, but, you know.
Yeah, like, but like you said, I don't think you'll be able to see, like, night and different, oh, Snyder did this part and Whedon did this part.
Yeah. Now, I mean, did it say anything about future stuff?
No.
Okay.
No. It was just saying that he's taking over the reins and finishing, so that way Justice League can stay on target for the release schedule.
November, yeah. All right.
So maybe he will, you know, be in the right frame of mind to come back and do other stuff later.
Yeah.
And if not, I mean, it'll be in good hands too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I fully trust, I mean, if... Whedon continues with something, or I mean, they would find somebody else to replace that would do, you know, a good job. That it's not, I mean, this is like the flagship thing.
See, okay, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, right? So, all the people bitching about how dark the other movies were, like, Whedon's Avengers was totally opposite of that, right?
Right, but at the same time, look at some of the other stuff that he's done, though. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying, like, those people that were knocking it for being too dark, and they're still knocking it because Snyder's stepping away or whatever, is just, like, just bitching the bitch, basically.
Pretty much, because they're going to now say that Joss Whedon doesn't know how to do, oh, Joss Whedon did dark and brooding.
Yeah, right.
You know?
But. And then Wonder Woman comes out, right?
Next week.
Have you seen all the trailers for that, or did you black out trailers?
I started blacking out trailers. I saw, like, the first couple,
mm-hmm.
and now it's like, I mean, I have my tickets to go see the movie,
mm-hmm.
so I'm just going to kind of go on shutdown mode so I can go into the movie and just watch it and have a good time.
Yeah. I think I saw, like, one... Well, I saw the initial, like, teaser, and then I saw the one full trailer... And I might have seen another one, but, I mean, it's basically just rehashing what we saw in the teaser in the first one.
Yeah, yeah, I like a little different things here and there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And it looks pretty cool.
I'm pretty psyched for that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think apparently I'm in the minority. I really enjoyed Man of Steel, and I really enjoyed Batman vs. Superman, so.
I saw a meme going around, like, where she's in the dance floor, and she has the sword.
Okay.
On the back, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And, like, it showed, like, the first, or the top half had the actual photo of her walking in, you know, with the sword coming out of her dress. And then, like, the bottom half had, like, her butt cheeks, like, squeezing the sword so that way it doesn't move, like, when she's walking. I thought that was pretty funny. I laughed hard at it. Maybe it was just because I had a long week, but it was pretty funny. This overall movie actually seems pretty fun, actually. It kind of reminds me of, like, First Avenger, like, Captain America First Avenger style.
Yeah, I mean, like, time period-wise, I guess it's about... Well, this is World War I.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. But, like, the action sequences and everything. Because, like, when she's sliding...
Yeah.
You know, in that one scene, like, where she's sliding and deflecting and stuff, that shot alone's pretty badass.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing that I saw in the trailers was kind of like the homage to the original Superman movie, where they're in the alley and the guy shoots the gun and she goes in front of Chris Pine and mm-hmm. kind of deflects it away, instead of like in Superman where he protected Lois in the alley.
Right.
That's pretty awesome. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Or Man of Steel, like where he deflects the bullet with his eyeball.
Oh, God. That wasn't Man of Steel. That was Superman Returns.
Oh, my bad. My bad. That was like one of the best parts of that movie.
And that's really saying something.
I know.
So.
All right.
Speaking of Superman.
Yes.
What have you been thinking of the whole Black Dawn storyline?
It's been pretty solid. But there's been parts like, I don't know, I guess, well, I don't know what you're going to say, but with Superman and with action, both of those have been pretty solid for me. But this Black Dawn thing has kind of taken a step back for me.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know why, because I was like pumped for it, you know, because like all, I don't know.
Huh.
But it's been a while since I read it, so I'm trying to remember back, which I'm going to pull it up right now.
Right, it's basically the whole thing with the neighbor has Jonathan and
yeah.
Oh man, I've been enjoying the heck out of it. I think than anything I've read with him before.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there was sort of a similar storyline with Jonathan being taken by, you know, Mr. whatever his name, Mix the Plitzik or whatever.
Yeah.
This, I enjoy this a lot more because it's not, in a way, I mean, that to me was just kind of ridiculous. I guess, you know, because I'm not a huge fan of the character, but I like how there's like a whole town full of people who are trying to protect and help them, and none of them knew, I guess.
So that seems more plausible than the Mizzleplick thing?
Well, I mean, look, it's all ridiculous. You know, it's a comic book about an alien living on Earth with superpowers.
Right, yeah.
But to me, like, this whole thing, I kind of like, you know, that the neighbors, the family that were there, you know, they're trying to protect him and make him better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. It's just I've been really enjoying this. I think this arc I like better than the last one. And the fact that Manchester Black is somehow involved is kind of crazy, because that, I mean, that came out of nowhere.
True.
I think.
You called it a long time ago, like when you said that the neighbor guy had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Or not do with it, but
he was involved. You know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even though it was wrong the first time.
Yeah.
Because he's not 100% evil.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's, you know, like I said, it's something different than what I've read before with him, you know, with Superman. And I like the family dynamic of it.
Yeah.
That, you know, even though this is Superman, he's not just fighting to save, you know, I guess truth, justice in the American way, but he's fighting to keep his family safe.
It's more modernized, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. And like I said, it's not like it's terrible or whatnot. I mean, the art's still fantastic on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't even remember who the artist is on this book anymore.
I have it pulled up. Let me see.
Doug Mankey.
Doug, yep.
Yeah.
And the covers have been great, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like on this latest one, the one that I like is the one that's black and white, except for the red shield on the S, like where he's busting through the...
Oh, is that where people are all shooting at him?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the bullets are deflecting, yeah. I think that's George Jimenez's, maybe.
Might be, I'm not sure.
Maybe I should do research before I talk about it, huh?
Or clue me in what you're going to talk about before you do so I could research it.
Nah. What fun is that?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I'd still say that this is probably one of my top five books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think this and... yeah, this one, it's not let me down yet.
Yeah. Agreed on that.
Same
what
thing.
About,
what?
Same thing with Deathstroke? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to go with Super Sons.
Oh. You're going to stay with the super theme?
Yeah, I mean, Batman and Damian were in the storyline of Superman for a little bit.
Yeah.
I have to say, this book is really grown on me. There was that, the first issue,
mm-hmm.
there was one issue that I was like, oh man, I really wish that they did something different with this.
Right.
And then the next issue basically was what I was saying that, you know, I was hoping the book would be.
Mm-hmm.
And man, oh man, this whole thing, this storyline's been unreal. I've really, really enjoyed how Damian is constantly getting Jonathan into trouble. And not just getting him into trouble. It's, you know, like they get caught and trapped and stuff. And then he just makes fun of the fact that he doesn't know how to use his powers. You know, I'm trying to think of the last one. They're like chained up upside down. Like Kid Amazo has him. And he's just like, oh, you know, don't you have super strength? Can't you pull out of this? Are you there? You gone?
Nope, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you blacked out again.
No.
Yeah, and just the whole the relationship between the two of them of I'm going to get you into situations that you don't know how to handle and then get angry that you don't know how to handle this stuff because you're not ready. You know, it just the whole time just makes me laugh.
Now, do you think that you didn't enjoy the first issue because you were hyped for it and it didn't meet, like, you like overhyped it, you know what I mean?
It could have been, and I don't remember, did they get a rebirth, like a one shot, or did they just go in with a number one?
I thought they just went in with a number one and they had like the backdoor pilot for the Christmas comic or whatever.
Oh, that might have been it. Yeah, there, I think, you know what, I think you're right. I think it was like that one story first and I enjoyed it, and then whatever the first issue was, it was kind of not what I was hoping for.
Right.
You know, oh, you know what, there was also the thing I want to say in Superman where Batman and Damian show up in a couple issues.
Mm-hmm.
That I also really enjoyed that, and then I was thinking if that's what the series was, it's going to be amazing, and then the series wasn't that, and I was like, ah, oh well, I mean, whatever, but man, the last 2-3 issues, I guess this is issue, 4, so it's pretty much been the rest of the run, have been great.
Right, I agree.
And I like they're like always messing with Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Yeah, see, like this one, you know, I guess in general, I like serious tone type books.
Okay.
But this one, and maybe like Batgirl and Birds of Prey, mm-hmm. are like those fun ones that I just read just for fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or not just for fun, just for enjoyment, entertainment purposes, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Where they don't always have to be like 7-layer taco dip, you know? Yep. And you have to overthink everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like hypercritical of everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy for me to just like kind of shut off my brain and just enjoy something without getting too critical of it. But this book, and yeah, like Batgirl and Birds of Prey, and I think just her book alone also, it's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And then there's like, you don't have to overanalyze anything or,
yeah,
you know, read everything at face value. Like, maybe you can see what's getting foreshadowed, but you don't really have to pay attention to, because it's kind of like you shut your brain off and just read it for what it is.
Yeah.
And I think, see, I was going to say, like, Titans is that way for me also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another one.
Because it's not, like, the super serious style.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and also the fact the art style on the books is, it's not realistic, but it's also not, like, overly cartoony.
Yeah, correct.
And it, like, it's just the whole art style of, I mean, I'm looking at the last page of Super Sons now, when Alfred and Lois are there in the bedroom waiting for them. But, you know, the coloring is great. The artwork is great. Like, it really fits the book. I mean, sometimes, you know, there are some series that the writing is more serious than the art, or the art is more serious than the writing, or, you know, something. And it just doesn't quite feel right. But I mean, this one, it hits everywhere. It's just perfect.
I agree with that. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. So you wanted to hit up Deathstroke?
We can hit Deathstroke or the button or...
You know what? Let's do Deathstroke first.
Alright. Deathstroke's amazing, like normal. Unicorns and rainbows.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think
no, I'm this,
yet to have a bad
I mean,
thing
it is,
think
but,
or say about this book.
Yeah. Because it's like that perfect storm train wreck.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously it's not... It's like Married with Children, TV show.
Right.
And you don't have that Silver Spoons type TV show where everything's perfect or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you get Married with Children, or even like Roseanne back in the day.
Yeah.
What, like, where it's just everything's a disaster and how it feeds on everything else.
Yeah. Anything that possibly could have been wrong is wrong. But I mean, this one, this isn't like, you know, oh, Darlene failed a test and she's hiding the test results. Right. This is, oh, by the way, I'm sleeping with your fiance who also knows that you're secretly gay, and yeah, she hates you, and she's only doing this as, you know, whatever. And like, it's just total dysfunction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it takes that and like turns it up times 10.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe even 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I guess it's about to lead into the crossover. It seems, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's getting ready to be there.
Yeah, this book is so good.
Yeah, and before, like, when we were reading it, I was saying, like, I wish we had, like, a Netflix show or something, or even a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really want that or not, because I'm enjoying this book so much. I don't want it to try.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
It's like the Stephen King effect, you know what I mean? Which I know you guys aren't like a huge Stephen King book guy, but like there's a couple that I like, and then, you know, he has like 10 movies come out and only two of them are decent.
Yeah.
You know, as to where the other eight, like, suck majorly.
Yeah.
So I just don't want this one to even try. Just don't touch it. Just leave it on the shelf.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. That as much as I would love to see this, there's no way that it would live up to how much I'm enjoying.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, man, Terminator 2 was so awesome. I'm so excited that they're making a third one. I can't wait to see how they improve upon this one. And then it's like just horrible.
Yeah, you walk out of the movie theater with popcorn butter in your eyeballs trying to wash it out.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. How did the effects look worse? But, yeah. No, I love this book. And anyone who has asked me, I guess, over the past half year or year, however long.
Half year?
Year and a half. We're in 24, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Almost. Okay, so it's been a year now.
Yeah.
The double everything screwing up my head.
I understand.
Yeah, but since Reworth started, anyone who has asked me what books I like and what I would recommend, this one is number one on my list every single time.
Yeah, and it feels crazy coming out of your mouth, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's people that are like, yeah, I don't really like Deathstroke. I was like, no, I don't really like Deathstroke.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is the best comic that they are putting out.
Yep.
And there has yet to be an issue where I was like, oh, that's kind of a downer. You know, this one kind of laid back a little bit and didn't really hit. And I mean, everything. The only moment that bothered me in the entire run so far was him killing the dog.
Yeah, I can see that. Yep.
But besides that, I mean,
everything's hitting out of the park.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's straight tens across the board.
Yeah.
You know, even the weird judge from, like, Eastern Europe gives it tens.
Yeah. Yeah. What about, speaking of another book that I recommend that feels strange coming out of my mouth, is Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I still haven't went back and read the New 52 that has the same artist or same writer.
Same writer.
Same writer.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you'll be like, I don't get it. How is this the same guy writing this book? It is a complete shift in tone, in style, in everything.
Yeah. That's like, I hear you and Daryl say that like all the time. Like, it's not the same guy. It might be the same name, but it's not.
You know, it would be like the guy writing Tango and Cash.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, like, he wrote Goodfellas. And you're just right. Like, wait, that guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's like you take three people or three characters, mm-hmm. which Jason Todd I've always liked, right? I don't know if he would be my Robin, but I've always liked him.
I've enjoyed and not enjoyed him at different times.
Well, okay, but you've read more DC than I have, probably. Fair to say?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I'm just saying, but okay, you take Jason Todd, you take Artemis, and you take Bizarro.
Yeah.
And somebody comes up to you and be like, you're going to love this book. And you'd probably, like, karate chop them in the throat because they're lying to you. But then after you read it, then you pick them off the floor and be like, I'm sorry, would you like taco bagels?
Yeah, man, taco bagels.
I love it.
Yeah, this Bizarro is pretty much the only Bizarro I've ever really enjoyed. That I don't like the ridiculous slapsticky Bizarro.
Yeah.
That is, you know, just kind of, you know, used for, hey, well, Superman, you know, let's put a crazy Superman in like a weird situation so we can laugh about it. Like, what's something he could never do? Oh, okay, he'll try and fix this, but he does everything wrong.
Right.
You know, and it's like, eh.
They're like Bizarro World way back in the early run. Oh, I wouldn't say early run, but like late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that one. with him in it. But you're correct, though. More time than not, he's just a slapsticky character that they throw in just to be dumb.
Yeah, like this, you know, he's actually trying to help people and, like, do good. And, you know, it the tone of his character alone is worth is worth getting into this book.
Yeah, it's like Lenny from Of Mice and Men almost.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a cool perspective, or a different perspective at least, to take on the character. And it works.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, like, Artemis is in the Amazonian badass.
Yeah, like, she, it's so funny.
But
like
she's different, though. She's different than Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, she's another character that over the years I'm like, I mean, she's not bad, but I've never been invested in her.
Right.
I guess. Right. But this book is like, oh, I'm really curious to see, you know, what they do. Like, I'm actually enjoying reading her story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think what the latest issue was. Is this the one where Jason Todd was kind of watching himself die as Robin?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And I mean, like, the emotional journey he's going on as a character in this series, too, it's, you know, like, I don't know. Who writes this? This is Scott Lobdell, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's got to sit and read all kinds of, like, you know, therapy books or something, because he's, like, really, really getting into the depths of his brain. You know, I mean, obviously it's a comic book, but, you know, you have a character who was brutally murdered and then somehow brought back to life with the knowledge of the fact that he was brutally murdered. You know, obviously he's not going to be well adjusted, but he's doing his best, you know?
Yeah. And,
and I think that they're doing a great job, you know, dealing with his whole thing on top of everything else.
But see, you glazed over it, kind of. But when you said that he was brutally murdered and then brought back for some reason, right?
Right.
But he wasn't just brought back in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. I didn't mean it that way. But yeah. I'm just saying, you know, you don't have, in real life, you know, you can't be beaten to death with a club. And then
a crowbar,
yeah, and then brought back.
You can't? Know,
a couple years later. Well, I mean, not yet anyway.
Oh, dang it. I was going to try that Friday night.
I mean, maybe I could set up like a Twitter bot that would talk with you or something, but that's about it for now.
Yeah, because apparently I'm not real. No. I'm just a Twitter bot.
I mean, it happens.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. This book is above and beyond my expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That they should really rename Rebirth to like Shattering Expectations or something like that. Because all of the books that I thought I would love have been like real hit or miss. That parts of it I really enjoy, and parts of it I'm like, eh. But like books that I would be like, man, this book is going to be trash, I'm freaking loving. I mean, granted, there are also books that I thought would be trash that are trash that I'm not reading.
Mm-hmm.
Harley Quinn. But, but like, you know, Deathstroke and Batgirl and Red Hood. And I mean, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey.
Right.
It's like, why would I, just on paper looking at them, you're just like, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I'll give it a shot, but good God, they've been fantastic books.
So what would be the book that's been hit or miss?
For me, I mean, I love The Flash, mm-hmm. but The Flash series has been peaks and valleys.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, early on I liked it, and then some of the stuff with, you know, like the 100 people with the Speed Force powers, I mean, it wasn't bad, but I wasn't really too into it. Did you drop out again?
Son of a bitch, every time.
Are you there?
Are you still there?
I'm here.
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you hear what I said? Or
you said it's been peaks and valleys. It said it's been peaks and valleys, and then...
That was it.
You went robotic and then silent.
Oh, okay. Because I was just talking, and then I heard nothing on your end. Okay.
I know. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, no, like the storyline with all the speedsters was okay. It wasn't great. I think some of the stuff with Wally has been really good. But like some of the other stuff, I'm just like, eh, you know, whatever. I don't know. And the art on the book has been decent to awful. And I, you know, I said it many issues ago. I don't know if they're going, because it's the Flash, if they're trying to make it look, you know, hurried as like a subtle, oh yeah, it's the Flash. It's got to be constantly moving and look quick. Or if it's just the artist just works super fast because they can't make deadlines.
See, I don't know. I think the Flash, for me, goes into that fun read pile.
Okay.
Where some of the art kind of turns me off every once in a while.
Right.
But yet overall, I mean, overall, I've enjoyed it pretty much. They're, you know, even like the one where the Rogues outsmarted him, or so we thought.
Right.
And even the lightning storm kind of thing, like when we were talking to Mike and Daryl when we had one of our crossover episodes, and I was, Daryl and I are saying, you know, it needs to hurry up and we can't just prolong this arc. It was still fun, but I agreed that, you know, now everybody has speed powers, kind of sucked, but I liked how they turned that around.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, it hasn't been like tens every time, but it hasn't been twos or threes either.
I could see.
So it's kind of been that even keel type, just fun read. It's the Flash. You know, the Rogues pop up.
Yeah.
And it's been cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I do enjoy it more than I don't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I just wish that it was more.
What about the button?
You know what?
Since that's Flash.
There, I liked it and I didn't like it.
Yes.
I was hoping for way more than what they gave us. I enjoyed the scenes between, I mean, I guess we'll just cover Batman and Flash.
That's fine.
The stuff with Thomas Wayne and Bruce, I thought was fantastic. You know, because like I said before, you don't get beaten to death and then come back to life. Like you don't get to watch your parents get murdered and then meet, you know, or your son get murdered and then meet the other, like an alternate version where the opposite happened, and like actually have a conversation with the father you haven't known since you were 9 years old.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, I really wish that the stuff with Thomas was more than an issue, because it's like they're there and then it's over like right away. If you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the fight sequence, I guess, right before they left from him seemed very rushed.
Yeah. See, here's... Okay. Now, if this was like the prelogue going into the main event...
Did you really
or
say prelogue?
Whatever. The pre... You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I told you it's been crazy.
It's so crazy you forgot the English language?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just making up words at this point.
It's all goop.
Yeah, it's all goop. No, but like if these four issues came out right before the event happened,
right,
or was getting ready to happen, I don't think I would mind it as much. But knowing that the event's still, what, 4 or 5 months away?
Yeah, it's in the fall, right?
Yeah. So 4 months away,
yeah.
I guess. It sucks because it's like heating something up and then just letting it set for a while, let it get cooled off, and then, oh, we're going to come back to it, right? And that's the only part. I mean, it is what it is, I guess, but I know other people have liked it, which is cool. And, I mean, it's not bad, I guess. It's just, like you said, I wish we would have got more about it. And then the event's actually around the corner instead of down the road.
Right.
And Tom King didn't write it, so that means that Mike and Martin should like it. Which, I'm ready for Mike's head to explode since Tom King's writing Mr. Miracle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to see Twitter get slammed and him actually throw things.
It's weird. I'm just like kind of skimming through the issues now. Mm-hmm. But it seems like each issue in this crossover seemed rushed in a way. Like the final part, like with Thawn, and they're chasing him through and he has the button.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I like the idea and I like the concept of it. I just wish that
the delivery was different.
I don't even know so much if the delivery was different, but if they gave it 5 more pages or something, like just filled it out a little more. Because everything, you know, especially in the last issue, because the main chunk of the story was shorter, because, mm-hmm. you know, they have that little, the end part with them at the graves, and then you have Bruce, like, you know, looking out the window, and the bat signal goes off, and he, you know, just kind of puts his head down, and he doesn't go, and then you have the thing with, you know, with the button at the, you know, the way end. But
yeah, see, now that we're actually talking about it, like, here's my thing. Like, with Tim dying and the emotional toll on that, and then Gotham and Gotham Girl, right, for Batman?
Right.
Then the button and all that stuff that happened that initially started us off gets pushed to the back burner, which is fine because all the other stuff is, like, right up in your face, right?
Right.
Kind of like what we were talking about, like, with Snyder, right? He didn't want to deal with it at the moment. So he was engulfed in the stuff that's right in his face, right?
Yep, like Batman and the Night of the Monster Men.
Right. Exactly. But now, after this, to where you actually get to talk to your dad that you haven't for however many years, right?
Right.
And you know that he's out there, or he sacrificed whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you go from here?
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you.
I mean, then you just, you know, go back to hanging on gargoyles or checking in on the detective team.
Right. I mean, especially because his father basically said, you know, listen, I don't want this for you. You know, I want you to be happy.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you don't have to do this because you made me proud or whatever, right? You don't have to do the vengeance thing or the revenge thing for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's like the biggest hurdle I have. Because if you take that equation out, then you don't have Batman at all.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying is, like, I wish the event was right around the corner instead of 3 miles down the road.
Right. Yeah, no, completely. And also, you know, because if he's not sure if he's Batman or what he's going to do. I mean, this issue was delayed a week and came out the same week as the newest issue of Batman, where, you know, he's basically getting used by Swamp Thing to kill the guy who killed his father. But timeline-wise, I assume it happened right after. So I guess he's still Batman. You know, like the existential crisis of Batman happens in The Flash.
Right.
So it doesn't even happen in his book.
Right.
So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's like there's really no way to wrap it up, I guess.
Yeah, it's an open-ended book that doesn't need to be open-ended, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, the way it ends in The Flash, he's like, I'm just going to ignore the bat signal. Mm-hmm. But then in Batman, and, I mean, maybe this story takes place beforehand. Who knows? I guess next issue maybe we'll see, you know, timeline-wise, you know, what happens with him. Because, I mean, Detective is taking place similar time-wise, but I just kind of put it out of this for some reason.
Well, see, and that's like the whole Rebirth thing. The continuity has been pretty tight-knit, I guess. Yeah. I mean, with all characters and all history, you know, everything's not going to be right on perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a week, a month, or whatever... Or even, what was it? Was Batgirl and Nightwing? Or Batgirl? It was like a year before, even, right?
Yeah, there's something. But,
so,
but
I mean,
between Batgirl and Nightwing, there's like months are passing between things. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, and that's why I don't know. I guess I've said it like six times now, but... With the big open ending thing, and then you just go on to something different.
Yep.
How can you just go on to something different with
right.
that and with that magnitude, anyways?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see how Batman deals in the aftermath of, you know, he met his father, and his father, you know, basically said stop. You know, you don't have to do this for me and your mother. You know, do what you want to do.
Right.
And he has basically lived his entire life to do this for his father and mother.
Right.
And this is his life. Like, how does he go and do anything else at this point?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, which one's the secret identity at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, really. And it's, like, I want to see what happens, but I don't know how you do it, and if it's going to happen, you know, when the main story comes back, that's like 5 months from now, and that it won't fit in.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's... Because we saw how much emotional burden that losing Tim did for him and the rest of the team, right?
Yeah.
You got to think, seeing and then, or getting to talk to your dad and then losing him all over again, basically.
Yeah.
It's got to be that feeling times 10.
I mean, especially because he had the letter from his father.
Right.
That got destroyed. And he was like, I'll never have anything.
Right.
And then he gets a face to face.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's...
And then they go on the magic treadmill ride.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's the other thing with Rebirth. Like, I think I was kind of saying it with Superman before and with Red Hood. Like, there's a lot of emotional baggage in these books. And then, like, every once in a while, like, you think you're going to get real deep into something, and then it's like, here's a one-shot with Swamp Thing.
Yeah, or it just gets glossed over.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the issue with Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just, the way that it was placed, it just didn't, It doesn't flow.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Especially with the way that the issue before ended, I guess.
Right.
Like, there was no definite ending, I guess, or resolution.
Yeah.
And then you jump right into it.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I want Mitch Gerard to draw more Batman.
Yep. Agreed. And you get your wish.
Is he doing more?
No.
No.
No, that's Sean Murphy, actually. I was thinking of.
Oh. Like, the page in this book, I guess it's the spread with Bruce Wayne sitting on the chair drinking his tea and Swamp Thing sitting opposite him and Alfred just, like, kind of sweeping up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I want that as, like, a poster on my wall.
Yeah. But Mitch is going to start doing Miracle Man with Tom, though. So
oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that'll be at least a plus. If the story itself isn't great, at least it'll look spectacular.
Yeah. The two of them work so well together.
Yeah.
That Sheriff of Babylon is an incredible book.
Yep. Agreed. And seeing like Sean Murphy's going to start doing the art on All-Star now.
Cool.
So it'll be Snyder and Sean Murphy. So then you can read it again, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to jump back on that at some point. But yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. The Batgirl and Birds of Prey stuff.
Yeah.
I said it a little while ago. I really enjoy. I'm just enjoying the book. It's not something I expected to enjoy.
And yeah,
the fact
right.
that it's again the art, I'm really enjoying. That
see,
like style wise, it really fits. It feels like it in a way. The art sort of feels to me like, you know, like one of the animated shows.
Yeah.
That I mean, it's not as much Batman, but it feels maybe like the way Superman, the animated series, was done. And I'm really enjoying it. I mean, coloring is great, and the storyline, you know, I really enjoyed the whole story with I just forgot the guy's name. The new Oracle kid.
Oh yeah, that. Yeah, I can't remember his name either.
Yeah. But
to me, I think you remember how disappointed I was that it was him type mm-hmm. thing. I think looking back on it, it works though.
Yeah.
Because like for me, that was like one bad issue. It was like I was hoping it'd be somebody different, even right. though I didn't have like anybody in mind. And then it was just him. And so it kind of seem melodramatic.
Yeah.
But it works, you know. And I'm with you right there. It's like that guilty pleasure. Like yeah. where I shouldn't like the book, but I do.
Yeah, I mean like this is the best Green Arrow that's been in a long time in the last issue or two.
Right. Agreed on that too.
Trying to think, what else? What do you think of the action stuff?
Action's always been okay with me, really. I mean, I know it's been hit or miss with you, but
yeah, I'm not into this storyline.
Yeah, I was gonna say like it's been miss with you more than it has on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, I guess it's not, I wouldn't say it's like my top tier book, but it hasn't really let me down either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming this storyline takes place shortly after what's going on in the Superman book,
mm-hmm.
because obviously after Superman, they're going to have to leave where they're living.
Right.
And they're looking to buy the new place in Metropolis.
Right.
But like the whole thing, I don't know how they're going to. I mean, obviously it's Superman, but they're really stacking the deck against him with villains in this arc.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's going to take something. I was going to say otherworldly, which obviously, but it's going to take something like completely ridiculous for him to be able to overcome, you know, who is against him right now.
Right.
And it, to me, it seems like that kind of thing when you mm-hmm. have Mongol and the Eradicator and Cyborg yeah, Superman. And, you know, you have all of them together. Mm-hmm. It seems like this would be the kind of situation that he'd be like, hey, Justice League, like, I need some help.
Yeah. I see, and I think that's the thing is, like, where Superman proper focuses more on, I don't want to say realistic because that, but the family-oriented stuff.
Right.
As to where action kind of feels more like the stuff that you didn't enjoy before with Superman.
Yeah, I think that could be it.
But with me, it's like it's a happy mixture. You know, I get the wild and crazy adventures in action, and then, you know, the actual rooted complex stuff in Superman.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, some of action I do really enjoy, but then parts of it also were just like, I don't know. Yeah, like that. Like I said, with this whole thing, it just seems like however he's going to overcome this is going to be unrealistic, even in comic book story.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean that's always been his character too, is like doing the impossible type stuff.
Right. So I don't deny that, but
no, you know, I know what you're saying.
You have the Justice League fighting over an iPad. And then you have Superman taking out, you know, five of the strongest villains he's ever faced by himself.
Well, yeah. That's always been his pride thing, too. Kind of like Batman, you know, where they don't like asking for help type thing.
Right, but Batman at the same time still has, you know, like in his book, there's been, you know, Gotham and Gotham Girl. And he you know, there's other people in there. But
Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz.
Yeah. Shut up.
I'm only going to touch on it. I don't know if it's like my mindset or whatever, or me just like not expecting gold nuggets to come out every time I read it, but I've been enjoying Green Lanterns a lot more.
You ready for this?
You haven't read it.
I have been enjoying Green Lanterns a lot more as well.
Because you haven't read it.
That is correct. It is now one of my favorite books. It is not. I don't get angry anymore. I don't get upset that it starts off the exact same and that there's been zero character development in a year.
Yeah, see, I don't know. It's I don't have any expectations for it anymore. So I just go into it and I enjoy it for what it is, basically.
Right.
And like I said, I think I would almost, I know this is going to be controversial, but I would almost put that self-centric Jessica Cruz single issue with her dealing with her whatever you call it, anxiety. Mm-hmm. I would put that in probably like the top 15 books that I read. Because I really enjoyed that issue.
Top 15 books in that series?
Top 15 books that I read that year. I'm not going to say ever. Just in that like month or two span, probably.
I mean, it would definitely be in my top 15 books in that series that I read.
Yeah.
Because I think I quit around book 15.
Yeah, I know. And then you got the Frank-centric one.
Yeah, no, those were good issues.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about that, but like that, I think, is my favorite issue out of that series, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Frank one, probably too. But yeah, it's just, it is what it is, and I enjoy it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. Everyone's got to be wrong about something.
Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Yeah. Green Lantern.
Nope, sorry.
Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps.
Never heard of them.
It's this book about these aliens.
Oh.
Yeah. And there was, turns out one of them was a robot, and you didn't realize it until partway through.
And then
you find out who created humans on some weird planet. I'm still thoroughly enjoying Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Venditti is writing each character, they feel like the character in my head should be. You know, where you have the Marine John Stewart, you have, you know, Hal is just, I'm just gonna rush into everything and whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have the hot-headed guy, and this whole issue, it's basically the latest issue is, you know, you got John Stewart trying to control the battlefield. And while he's doing that, Hal is just in the middle of everything, just throwing everything he has at these things. I mean, mm-hmm. Okay, this isn't working. Yeah, this isn't working either. Try this. Okay, that's not working. I mean, I love the relationship between all the characters. I think it's done really, really well. And at the same time, when, you know, they're about to start, you know, the big push in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Guy and Arkillo, who are both hurt, both come out and they're like, yeah, you're not fighting without us, right? Like, I don't care if we can't do anything. We're still going to be here. You know, it's just terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it's because Rob is just writing like this one book, though?
I don't know.
And he's not getting stretched thin.
But I mean, when the series started, he was still writing Exo, and he was writing Eternal Warrior, right?
I just meant with these characters, though.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's I liked when they each had their own books because you could tell different stories with each of them.
Right.
But it always got, you know, even though he was writing like the main Green Lantern book, it was always like, oh, okay, well, we have like this story right now, basically these 20 whatever issues, I guess 20.
Mm-hmm.
It all would have been just like crossover after crossover after crossover, you know, which for me was starting to wear thin in the new 52. That green, okay. The Green Lantern books just went from event. It seemed like it just went from event to event to event to event. And they never had a chance to really flesh out character stuff. Whereas in these 20 issues, he has done more to take, you know, the characters of four different books and flesh them out as characters and tell a great story all at the same time.
Yeah. I could see that.
You know, I mean, he really doesn't get, I don't think he gets the full credit that he deserves for his writing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe because he wasn't on, I mean, granted, he wrote Flash and Green Lantern in the new 52.
Right.
But I mean, it still seems like he doesn't get recognized as being as good a writer as he is.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and like we've seen it, you know, being Valiant fans, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's Robson. To me, it's good in the threads that are getting left there or getting pulled, you know,
right?
Like he does with everything.
Yeah.
Still what else you got, sir?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I heard like weird digital noise on my end. Yeah, but I mean, like in this book, I loved the, you know, they supercharge Mogo to fire. They're out, you know, basically. I mean, now they all surrendered their rings.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But I don't know how any of them are breathing on the alien world. Now that
without their rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously some of the aliens maybe, but you know, it'll be interesting. Right. But I do like, you know, how the, you know, now Hal is gonna have to fight basically, you know, the gauntlet and yeah. You know, everything that's, yeah, I mean, this, I love a good space opera, and this has been great, you know, like without being, you know, like a Star Trek kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where they're, right. Everyone's just like on a spaceship doing something. I just like, they're on this planet, they're on that planet, they're doing this, they got that going on, they got, you know, so mm-hmm. good. So good.
Agreed.
Trying to think. You want to talk detective a little?
Yeah, that's fine.
What do you think of the latest?
This is one of those, another ones that's, I don't really think has had a bad issue for a detective. I know. I know, like, you didn't like some of the centric stuff, like the orphan centric stuff and whatever.
No, I don't mind the orphan stuff. It was the Batwoman issues. I was like, meh.
Yeah, well, that was really dialogue heavy than normal.
Right. I mean, I don't mind reading dialogue heavy books, but.
You don't mind reading? That's no. Craziness.
Yeah, I know. But, like, don't give me a book that's just, like, all exposition about, like, involving and about characters that I do not care about because it really drags for me. That was my issue with it.
See, I agree with those, with the Batwoman-centric ones. But here goes back to the old-fashioned trope that we talked about, like, at the beginning or the first couple of weeks of when we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like, I like Batwoman and Detective more than I like Batwoman in her own book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are you enjoying it lately or
no? Detective?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like this latest storyline. I mean, because I've been waiting for, you know, for Orphan to go totally nuts for ages and start beating the crap out of people. Huh? And I like when they're going to save her and they're just passing through piles of bodies.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, she did this by herself?
Yeah.
You know?
And see, and that was the great thing, is that's the build-up that we've had over the last couple of issues, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, her thing was always trying to keep it in control.
Right.
And so now we get to see the fallout of her not keeping it under control.
Yeah.
Yep, and the art's been pretty good, too, so... I'm down with that.
You know what? The last issue, some of the art to me looked really sloppy.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, like, some of it is great. Mm-hmm. Like, there are pages where everything looks fantastic, but then there's other pages. I'm trying to find it now. Like, some of the stuff with Ross, his face just looks... And it might just be the inking because it's, like, heavily shadowed stuff. That the way it's done, it just kind of makes it look a little sloppy.
All right, I can see that.
But, you know, overall, I do agree. I think the art, for the most part, has looked really good.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's always been pretty good for me, so.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if
anything.
No, yeah, pretty much. No, I was gonna say, like, I'm not so much into magic stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how I'm gonna feel about the next arc.
Right.
But
I can see that. Yeah, because the magic thing is not your thing.
Nah, not really.
Which, like you said earlier in this episode, it's okay to be wrong about some things.
Yeah, but I'm not wrong about that.
No, you're wrong. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
I don't know. There's nothing off the top of my head. Anything else you wanted to cover?
No, I'll gloss over real quick the first issue of Batman and the Shadow.
Okay.
It was pretty fun. It was weird, but it was fun.
Right.
So it's kind of
set. Snyder and Orlando writing that together?
Yes, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I really remember is that Riley Rossmo does the art. And that's A-OK by me.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, I don't know if you read any Shadow stuff before, so.
No, I'm not too familiar.
So it's kind of like one of those things where it's just set in like the old timey wimey, classic noir stuff.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's really cool because it's just different for me, and plus you said Rossmo's drawing it, so you know.
But yeah, he's one of the very few artists, I think, that I would pretty much pick up anything he's drawing.
Yeah. Now, do you are you gonna read this? Like, are you gonna pick it up when it's done?
No. I got the first issue. I just didn't get a chance to read it.
Okay. Because I know with some things, you know, you wait until it's all out.
No. This one, I'm definitely. Based on Rossmo alone, I'm going to read it as it's coming out. I got to sit down and take some time. When this came out, I think 2 weeks ago.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that my son's track stuff is done.
Yeah.
I now don't have to spend literally 7 hours of my Sunday sitting at the field track meets and I'll have time to sit and read again.
Well, he's still young yet. So you still got a long ways to go.
Well, for this season.
Well, I know, but
yeah.
Just take your iPad with you.
Yeah, I did have it with me, the problem is I was helping organize the kids and get them ready for the events and stuff. Yeah. Yep. Because you have events going on and then events getting staged, you know, and then the first teams are heading out and the second ones are moving up and then it's just crazy.
Yep. I get it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I was really looking forward to this one. And for some reason, I don't know why I didn't read it yet. I also haven't read the newest Invincible, which came out this week. And that's like my favorite book ever. So,
yeah, I'm only like to the third volume of that book.
Like trade
volume 3. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's like, there's only, I don't know. It's like, I have to read that one in like moderation for some reason.
Oh, I did right around issue 100. My wife was asking me about the book and I was like kind of telling her about it. And I was like, you know what? I really want to read this again. And I went back because I have all the hardcovers. So I went back at the start and I just powered through. I read like the 100, I want to say it was 90 something issues.
Right.
And then, but there's also like, it crosses over with a couple other books.
Yeah.
That they did. And so I read all that stuff and everything. It's like, I can't believe I'm doing this again, but it's so good that I don't mind so much. Good stuff.
Yep.
I think. So you got nothing else?
I think I got nothing.
All right. I mean, we covered a lot, like almost a month's worth of some books.
Yeah, we were behind a month, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're done with baseball, so we might actually get to record semi-regularly again.
That is true. Well, I'm done with high school baseball.
Oh, my God. How much more baseball is there?
Well, my stepson plays now.
Oh, you're killing me.
But, correct.
Tell him to quit.
Yeah. Tell him to quit.
Yeah.
Why don't I quit?
Yeah. One thing I've learned is quitting gives you more time.
Yeah. So, or just calling out of work.
Yeah. Don't sign up for things. Just hang out at home and read comic books.
Yep.
And occasionally play video games with your kids to keep them happy.
No, don't even play them with your kids. Just take it over.
Well, yeah, I mean, they like watching me play Zelda.
So. There you go. Yeah.
It's the best of both worlds. I get to play what I want to play, and they just sit and watch, and they just quietly enjoy it. I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
And if they don't, they can go take naps.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do with all my time now that my youngest will be in kindergarten next year.
Yeah.
Because I have a day off during the week.
Oh. So I'll
have a day, like every week I will have a day literally to myself.
Oh, don't worry. Your wife will have something plans for you.
Well, I figure I'll do all my yard work and stuff that day.
Yeah.
Probably end up falling asleep for the rest of it and wasting all my time instead of doing anything productive.
Yeah, that's how it usually happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yep.
I guess if you've got nothing else and I've got nothing else, that's a rebirthically. Right?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you all for rejoining us on this podcast.
All new, all different, all the same.
Yeah, all the same. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can tweet to me directly at Aaron S. Bell. You could tweet to Ronnie directly at RonBar316. You could tweet to the show directly at NL Rebirthically. You can email the show, rebirthically@gmail.com. And I guess that's everything, right?
Yeah. That's a podcast. Consequences that are rendered. I stretch myself beyond my means. It's been a while since I can say that I wasn't addicted, and it's been a while since I can see I love myself as well. It's been a while since I've gone and fucked things up just like I always do. And it's been a while, but all that shit seems to disappear.